The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen. I bet many of you in this room have been labeled at one point or another by your family, friends, neighbors, classmates, colleagues. Many labels are meant as a compliment, you know. He's the funny one, always making people laugh. Oh, she's so bright, always a couple of steps ahead of everyone else. We call him our angel. He is always willing to help out, no matter how big or small the job. Some labels, of course, are not meant as a compliment and are used to demean and other people. Freak, weirdo, geek, loser. You can come up with other nasty words, I'm sure, to categorize someone based on their suspected political affiliation, their ethnic or religious background, perceived weakness, lack of intelligence, or conventional beauty. Sometimes the labels that get attached to us arise out of just one particular event in our lives that we just can't seem to escape from ever. No matter what else we did before or we do after, no matter how long the passage of time. We beg our families to stop telling that infamous and embarrassing story about the time we whatevered. We hear criminals and other wrongdoers plead not to have their whole life defined by one bad act. So what label do you think of when you hear Jesus' disciple Thomas mentioned? Blank Thomas. Blank Thomas. You know what we insert in there. Doubting, right? He's been called that for a long time, as far back as the 6th century, Thomas Dubitans. The term Doubting Thomas even has its own Wikipedia entry, a whole article about how the name of this particular disciple of Jesus describes people who are skeptical until they've seen something for themselves. I'm not sure why we are so hard on Thomas. We have no idea where he was that first Easter evening or what he was doing while he was missing. The rest of the disciples aren't much to brag about either, those hours after Jesus' resurrection. They have heard the testimony of the women about their early morning trip to Jesus' tomb, how the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, and men in dazzling clothes proclaimed that Christ is risen. And yet, instead of beginning to tell this good news to all the world, instead of throwing a big party to celebrate Christ's victory over death itself, the disciples are hiding together. All except Thomas, of course, behind locked doors, afraid. They don't seem to know what to do with the good news Easter morning has brought for them. Into their midst comes Jesus. So many words he could say now that he has suffered, died, and been raised from the dead. Chastising words, perhaps, or words that speak of his disappointment, about being betrayed, denied, abandoned by his friends, or maybe words of, I told you so, or why did you not believe? But Jesus speaks words of peace to them. He shows them his hands and his side without anybody asking, as if to say, yes, it really is me. See? And then he breathes the breath of God into this gathering of people who have had the wind knocked out of them over the past few days. As I said, we don't know where Thomas was, why he wasn't with the rest of the disciples that night. Wherever, whenever it is that they finally run into him again and try to convince him that they have seen the Lord, Thomas just isn't ready to believe. He wants proof, after all that has gone on, something he can touch and feel and see for himself. And so we call him Doubting Thomas, as if that's all there is to him. It's a shame, really, because Thomas is more complicated than this episode might lead us to believe. You see, earlier in the Gospel of John, after Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, has died, Thomas is quite brave. This story is told in Lent in year A of our three-year lectionary, so we haven't heard it for a few years. Jesus wants to go to Judea to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. Most of the disciples are afraid, fearful that Jesus will be hurt if he goes back there. They question Jesus about why he'd want to return to the place where people had recently tried to stone him. But Thomas, in contrast, is ready to follow his Lord, even knowing where the path might lead. Let us also go, Thomas says to the rest of the disciples. Let us also go that we might die with him. Such a brave man, Thomas. A man willing to follow Jesus to death. But even he can come to have his doubts. And that's the reason we need Thomas. The reason we tell his story every single year on the second Sunday of Easter. It's the reason artists across the ages have painted paintings and sculpted sculptures of Thomas reaching out to touch Jesus' wounds. It's to remind us, to reassure us, that doubt is part of being human. That doubt is okay, even. Jesus certainly isn't offended by it. When Jesus returns to the disciples again a week after that first Easter, his response to Thomas's doubt isn't criticism or hostility or anger. No, Jesus offers himself up to Thomas, who's finally in the right place at the right time. And Jesus offers gentle words. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. It's only been a week since our own Easter morning celebration, a day each year like no other. All the energy and tension that builds up over Lent and then Holy Week is just kind of unleashed. There's special music, brass and organ and choir, lilies everywhere. 100 more people than usual worshiped with us last Sunday, almost double our normal attendance. So we get caught up in the festivities, the joy in the air. It's not so hard to believe, to be brave in our faith in the midst of all of that. But when a moment of doubt comes for you, and it surely will, when you look around and wonder whether indeed God is still with us, when it seems like the darkness is swallowing up the light, evil is winning over good and hate is defeating love, hold on to the promise that our Lord will come to you, bearing words of peace and offering you hope. For Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And make this one a big one. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.